This morning our scripture is from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. Immediately, I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the house of a sinner to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The word of the Lord.
The last few months we've seen Jesus interacting with a number of different people. And if you were to read through the whole Gospel of Luke, you would see the same thing. And I think that the way that Jesus interacted with people in the Gospels is also the way he has interacted with us. It's still the way he meets with us today through the Holy Spirit. Here are some of the people that Jesus interacted with in recent sermons. I guess it doesn't work. We have Nicodemus, the Pharisee. We have the Samaritan woman at the well. We have Levi, the tax collector, and his associates. And just before our today's encounter with Zacchaeus, we have Jesus meeting up with little children, with a rich young ruler, with a blind beggar. And we also have Jesus telling the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector to some who were confident of their own righteousness. And in all these different interactions, we see Jesus approaching the different people in ways that address their deep needs in ways that suit them. For instance, when Jesus meets with Nicodemus, he makes the strange statement that you are to be born again. So Nicodemus, who is a teacher, was being taught a basic lesson as if he were a little child learning his ABCs. And when he meets the Samaritan woman who thirsted for acceptance, Jesus offers her living water. She, who had been ashamed of her life and fearful of others, was told who she was by Jesus in a way that showed her he did not reject her. And when he meets Levi, the tax collector, he simply says, "Follow me." And the tax collector, who had clearly lived his life living for himself, now follows him and lives his life for Jesus. And in the chapter just before our text, Jesus interacts with people in a way that totally goes against other people's expectations. You see, Jesus is about to come to the climax of his ministry. He is heading up to Jerusalem, where he will be killed, as he told his disciples. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And again, just before he gets to Jericho, he takes his 12 apostles aside and he says, we are going to up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And now Jesus is approaching Jericho, less than a day's walk to Jerusalem, and he interacts with some other people. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and who looked down on everybody else, Jesus told a parable. And I think you know this parable quite well. There's a Pharisee, and he prays to God, thanking him for not being like all those other people, those evildoers, those robbers, those adulterers, and the like, and even like that tax collector over there. And I think if Jesus were telling the parable today, he would probably include the LGBTQ community in the list. Because that's how self-righteous people today think. And then Jesus mentions one of the very people on the list, a tax collector. And he stands at a distance. And he doesn't dare look up. He beats his breast and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that it is this person, the one who knows his sin, who is justified before God. So you see, people tend to exaggerate their own righteousness and amplify other people's sinfulness. But Jesus has God's view. Those who know that they have nothing in themselves to offer are justified. While those who thought that God was proud of them are humbled. And then we see some people bring their babies and toddlers to Jesus. And the disciples and everyone else knows that Jesus is far too important to spend his time around children who couldn't possibly understand his teachings. Yet Jesus invites the children to come to him. And he says that God's kingdom belongs to those who are like these little children. He says this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Next, we see an amazing young person come to Jesus and ask Jesus what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asks him, do you know the Ten Commandments? And I think you would like this young person. I have kept all these since I was a child. You know, this week I was watching a couple of Jeopardy tournaments, the college tournament and a teen tournament. And these young people were so impressive. You couldn't help but like and admire them. They were smart, knowledgeable, polite, and they had great senses of humor. And I suspect that this rich young ruler who came up to Jesus, we would admire him in the same way as these teens and college students. And if someone like that came to our church, we would welcome her or him with open arms. But Jesus comes to the core of what is needed. You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And the young ruler went away sad, for that was simply too much to give away. And Jesus looks at him with empathy and sighs. How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the people who heard Jesus sigh wondered how anyone could possibly be saved. And Jesus tells them that what is humanly impossible is possible for God. And just before Jesus enters Jericho, he interacts with a blind beggar. And the beggar hears the commotion as Jesus and the crowd around him come by, and he goes, "What's happening?" And they tell the beggar, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And the beggar, who must have heard stories about Jesus, calls out. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." See, at this time, none among all the crowds had yet identified Jesus as the Son of David, as the Messiah, as the Christ. But this blind beggar did. And yet the crowds wanted nothing to do with such an insignificant person as this blind beggar. After all, Jesus is much too important to deal with such people. You see, Jesus does not assign significance to people because of their abilities to contribute to society. No, he sees the beggar as a person, a human being. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asks. "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And the blind beggar receives sight and begins to praise God. And then the crowd also begins to praise God. And this is the context of Jesus interacting with Zacchaeus. See, in Jericho, there was a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And as Pastor Jason mentioned last week, he was the chief of tax collectors. So the other tax collectors in the region reported to him, and he got a cut of all their collections. and if tax collectors were despised by people, Zacchaeus was despised even more. After all, he was a Jew who was working on behalf of the Gentiles who had invaded their land. And of all the people in all of Jericho, Jesus would be least likely to want to see this person, or so everyone knew. And it was this person who sought to see Jesus, and who Jesus was. But there was no way that Zacchaeus could make his way through the crowds in order to see Jesus. So this important, rich official of the Roman Empire climbs a fig tree near the street through Jericho so that he can see Jesus. And when Jesus gets there, he looks up and he clearly sees Zacchaeus. It's as if Jesus sees right through him into the depths of his heart. And the crowds are probably thinking, just like we would think, Jesus is going to give it to him. He's going to tell him that people like Zacchaeus have no place in the kingdom of God. But Jesus says this: Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And you can feel the shock of the crowds at these words. But Luke doesn't say anything about that. He merely tells how Zacchaeus responds. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly or joyfully. But some of the same people who praise God at the healing of the blind beggar now mutter, just as so many people have muttered in the Gospels, at Jesus' words and deeds. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner. And I suspect that if someone had had a recording device, we would have heard, he has gone to be the guest of the worst of sinners. And Luke doesn't tell us if Zacchaeus and Jesus had a conversation in the meantime. I suspect it wasn't necessary. I suspect that the moment that Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, I must partake of your hospitality today, that Zacchaeus was a changed person. Jesus, the teacher, the Christ, the Son of David, wants to have a meal with Zacchaeus, the most despised person in town. Jesus wants to partake of his hospitality. And in Luke, Zacchaeus immediately offers these contrite words to Jesus. Lord, here and now, I give half of what I have to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. See, Zacchaeus is now a reborn person, a born-again person, entering into the kingdom of God. He demonstrates what Nicodemus tried so hard to understand, simply the fact that Jesus was looking to seek hospitality from Zacchaeus changed his life. A meal with Jesus changed his life. And Jesus confirms this diagnosis. He says, today, salvation has come into this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And here we have an echo of what Pastor Jason was talking about last week. When people grumbled that Jesus was eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, he responded with this great truth: it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, one of the things that I've seen during my pastoral ministry is how important it is to people not only that you have a meal with them, but that you are willing to partake of their hospitality. So often I heard from people who were kind of at the outskirts of the church, "You're the first pastor who has eaten at our house." And I suspect it goes much farther. So some people who feel that they are condemned by church people have never had a church person join them in their home and have a meal with them and their close friends. See, it's kind of like the mirror image of hospitality, isn't it? You can have people in your house, and it doesn't quite impact the people in the same way as you when you eat a meal with them in their house. And when Jesus came up and sought Zacchaeus' hospitality, Jesus told Zacchaeus that he was a human being of great value. And response to that was gladness, joy, repentance. We are about to have a meal with Jesus. And this meal has us partaking of the very blood and body of our Lord in a very spiritual way. And throughout church history, people have discussed who should be invited, who should partake of this meal, who should be fed by Jesus, who should partake of this salvation. And maybe some people here are wondering, who should partake? Who should be excluded from this meal? And the way it is practiced in some churches, and yes, also in our history, only the very righteous people are welcomed to the meal. That those who have proven themselves were welcomed. But this goes against the actions of Jesus. You want to know what the Heidelberg Catechism says about who should partake in the meal? It starts with those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins. Who are to come to the Lord's table? Those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins, but who nevertheless trust that their sins are pardoned and that their continuing weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ. And who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to lead a better life. And here are those who should not come to the table. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. And those who are unrepentant. they eat and drink judgment on themselves. Basically, if you're like one of those Pharisees in Jesus' parable who thinks that they are righteous on their own, then you have no place at this table. No, you need to be like one of those small children. See, small children are totally dependent on their parents for everything. And in the same way, people need to be born again. We need to become totally dependent on the grace of God and on Christ's finished work at the cross. That's how we become Christians, joyful Christians like Zacchaeus. We accept Christ's hospitality. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may we be moved by Jesus' approach to us, his invitation to us. May we accept his invitation as if he was willing to come to our house to enjoy our hospitality. May we be so moved by Christ's invitation in our lives that we too may accept it joyfully, gladly. And like Zacchaeus, may our lives be changed because we have accepted your invitation. And as we partake of this meal, this sacrament, strengthen us and sanctify us through your Holy Spirit and Word. Grant that all who share the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ may be one in him, and may remain faithful in love and hope. May your whole church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray.